quickly go through the issues of Amida and Yeshiva today, and then we'll be able to move on. Yeah, there are a lot of details just still to get through. So, okay, we've been trying to figure out the relationship between Amidas Baledinim, Amidas Edim, and Yeshivas Dayanim. And again, the bigger question, of course, has been whether or not these are three different halachos. We've explained why each one could be singular and different. Or whether or not these are two halachos, meaning the pairing of, if they are going to be two halachos, so there are two different ways, again, to pair them, obviously. One is, the Baledinim and the Edim have something in common, perhaps, according to one pasuk, right? And that is the pasuk in Shemos, which has the Baledinim standing in the presence of the Edim. The Edim and the Dayanim have something in common. If the pasuk is V'amdu Shnei Anoshim and it's Lifnei Hashem, so if that's a reference to the Dayanim. And of course, the Baledinim and the Edim have something in common. If both of them are derived from the same pasuk, V'amdu Shnei Anoshim, and if we take literally the line in the Gemara, that, Hadas Edus is Kigmar Din. So even in the question of, how to break this up, essentially we have, numerous, possibilities. We have either the idea of saying that everything is clumped into one idea, and there's plenty of evidence that we've seen for that, on the L'chadchila B'diabed question, certainly. We have the Chachmei Sfarad who put everything together, right? Hu Adin Baldin, Hu Adin Edim, Hu Adin Dayanim. Sometimes you have Kol Shekains, we'll get that. That implies at least some difference, but certainly putting them all together is something what we find echoes of. And I say in the psukim there are different ways to break up. If you want to keep two of them together, in theory one could have said that these are three totally different dinim because the roles of Baledinim, Edim, and Dayanim, each for its own reason, are very, very different. So what we've been trying to do is just to instead of just speculate about it. To really try to show in the actual Bekoros themselves what the issues are. So again, just let's see what we've got through so far and then just finish off this part of it. There's always more things that you could dig up. But so with respect to, we'll just go through each one, what we know, mostly finished Baldin and we're pretty much in Edim, but let me just sum up in light of Edim, the issue of Baldin as well. So, again, the issue of Baldin Bamida is maybe the most mechudash, as we've explained. It's the first one that we encounter in our Gemara, but it's the bigger chiddush if you think that there really is a formal posture for Baledinim, and especially if it isn't just a matter of external or extraneous, we'll call it kavod, and it isn't just, to promote Ema or MS. If it is, then that all makes sense. But if it's more than that, the possibility that it would really be ba'akev or that it's some more formal requirement, then it really puts its a finger on the formal status of Baldavar. So that's kind of what's at stake. It starts off... I'm sorry? With the Rambam? Well, we'll get to it in a couple of minutes. It's hard to know. Again, the fact that a minug or that bizman hazeh would be different is obviously
the same thing.
What?
No.
I mean, the Rambam doesn't say that about Mpiyam Vot Piksavam, and he doesn't say it in the same way. I mean, he just says here, he says, EF Shar, Le Kayim, Hadin al Tilo. Yeah, very hard to say that you go against a Daraisa, but we'll see. We'll see in a moment just what it is. So, again, here it's also interesting just to note that when the Chachamim, part of the story is the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda here. We don't have that in Edim and in Dayanim. We have that only in Baledinim. So just to note the background, which is, on the one hand, the Chachamim use the expression of mitzvah sheyamdu, which doesn't make it seem like it's a hechsher din. We contrast that, for example, with the language of the Gemara in Zvachim, which sounds, at least in the Havamina, like with when it comes to Edim, that it's a psul, and that it's, again, like an avoda, you know, b'mikdash, b'yeshiva, which really is psul. The Chachamim's language in our Gemara is mitzvah sheyamdu. On the other hand, it's also interesting to note that for the Chachamim's presentation in our Gemara, it's not connected contextually with the problem of stimas tainas baledim. We have that for Rav Yehuda. We'll get to that in a second. But for the Chachamim, it's just presented as an interpretation of the pasuk va'amdu shnei anashim bedin, straight, that this is the required posture of baledin. So on the one hand, it's mitzvah. It's not connected to equating the baledinim or encouraging them or you know, imposing, you know, threats upon them. At the same time, and for that reason, maybe it's more expansive. It's not limited to Gemar Din, right? That's clear according to the Chachamim. So part of our task has been to figure out, you know, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and the Gemara had a thought that maybe he doesn't believe in Amida at all. And then the Gemara came round and said that that in fact Rabbi Yehuda does believe in it, Shas Gemar Din. But when Rabbi Yehuda first comments or reacts to the Chachamim, what he says is that the din of Amida, if there is one, is a din in Hashvayas, you know, Habalei Din. It's a din B'tzedek Tishpot Amisecha. Right, Shloihe Echad Yoshev Echad Omed Echad, you know, Omrim Lo Katzer Dvarecha Echad Omrim Lo, you know, you can be Marich, and so on and so forth. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's first comment was an Amida, you know, throughout an Amida that Rabbi Yehuda that the Chachamim called Mitzvah Lamod. You know, there's no such din as that. All there is that you can't, you know, discriminate between the Balei Din. And then, even when he says, you know, that it's better if they should sit, but then you can be Moshe them as well. It's interesting that even once Rabbi Yehuda mentions that, he still goes back to the idea of, you know, but if you do sit them, right, then one can't be higher, one can't be lower. So it starts off as Hashvayas Balei Dinim, and it also ends up, you know, even after he mentions a seeming preference for Amida, that although not one which is at all ma'akev clearly, that, you know, it's still a din in Hashvaya. Then after that, you get the line in the Gemara, you know, Hani Mili, you know, whatever. But Bigamar Din, there's a din of Amida. And that's the question that we're dealing with, because we paskin like Rav Yehuda. So is that a stark transition in the Gemara or not? In the end of the day, is Rav Yehuda saying, all we care about is B'tzedek Tishpot Amisecha, and that's the reason we're limiting this, and, you know, that's it's you know, it's surrounded on both sides with, you know, equality issues, you know, substantive and perception-wise. But in the end of the day, that's what we care about. And even where we're makbid for Shneim Omdim, it's still basically that kind of a halacha, just that in the Gemar Din part, it expresses itself in that way. Or as Arbuta saying, I agree with you, Chachamim, you know, that there is also a separate din of Amida separate from all of that. And this is the same question to ask in the Rambam, because the Rambam puts us in Perek Chaf Aleph Hilchos Sanhedrin, as we discussed. And the Perek, we'll talk a little more when we go forward about Perek Chaf and Perek Chaf Aleph. Some of you mentioned to me, and I think it's a good point, it's a little strange in the Rambam, the way he broke it up. But either way, Perek Chaf Aleph is B'tzedek Tishpot Amisecha. It starts off exactly the same way. But of course, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So again, the same question we can ask for the Rambam, which is, in the end of the day, this is just part of that, or no, all the rest of it is. The Gemar Din part really is a din of Amida, you know, per se. And it's much more than that. So again, the fact that it's limited to Gemar Din, you could say, well, you know, maybe it's no longer, now here's where you get to maybe go the other way. In other words, on the one hand, you say, oh, Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't really have the theme of Amida. For him, it's all, you know, part of the equalizing treatment, right? On the and therefore, even his Amida, what's left of it, you know, B'shas Gemar Din, maybe it's that kind of halacha too. But the other way to go with it, of course, is to say that that's the sharp transition in the Gemara. And on the contrary, the fact that it's more targeted to Shas Gemar Din, is what demonstrates that it isn't about mistatmin tanaseh, right? Because why is that's not shot? Is there mistatmin tanaseh b'shas kvar din? Right? I mean, Tosis suggests that there might be still. We'll get back to that in a second. But it's not so obvious. So both the timing of it and the fact that it's more targeted, you know, to dafka shas kvar din, may be a reason to think that, you know, this is a more fundamental halakha. And then you're not even burdened anymore by the word mitzvah. I should explain what I mean by that because it doesn't sound so good, right? Mitzvah is not a burden, of course. You know, ratzah kadosh baruch hu lezakos is Yisrael. But I mean by that is that I started off by saying a second ago that for the chachamim, mitzvah lamo doesn't sound like it's a din hechsher, you know, being or the hagdara of being a baldavar. You're not a baldavar if you're not standing. It sounds like it's a mitzvah lamo. I'm just saying, so Rabbi Yehuda holds b'shas kvar din mitzvah lamod, right? And especially if we're contrasting it with the edim, where maybe it's not mitzvah lamod, but it's, you know, it's practically a psul, you know, zar, you know, in the mikdash. So, again, when you shift to gvar din and you allow this smaller, narrower application, maybe it really is, you know, the shame baldavar. So that's more than a mitzvah. You don't see Rabbi Yehuda saying mitzvah la'amod b'shas kvar din, right? So I'm just not sure whether for Rabbi Yehuda there's nothing because he rejected the chachamim, or he rejects the chachamim, but what he agrees to is something even more than the chachamim. And that is, I think, an important question. Again, the fact that the Gemara uses the expression, you know, balei dinim b'amida v'dayanim b'yeshiva, right, when once it comes to that, is also interesting. And, you know, again, is this like Edim, because we're really comparing it to Edim? Is it like Dayan and B'yeshiva? Again, you have the two psukim, which we already talked about, V'amdushnem Nashem Din or V'yeshev, V'yamod, you know, Lifnei, the pasuk in Shmos or the pasuk in V'amdushnem Nashem. So, base deo, two deos, whether Vayeshev Moshe, connected to Dayanim, or V'amdushnei Anashim. It's interesting that the Rambam, since you mentioned a second ago, quotes Vayamod Ha'am. Again, there's no reason that I can think of that, you know, that he assumed that that was true, more than the pasuk of V'amdushnei Anashim Bedin. But I think that is quite interesting that he quotes Dafka Vayamod Ha'am. It's also interesting to note, maybe ironically, that the Rambam never quotes in the Hilchos Sanhedrin the din of yeshivas hadayanim. We'll get back to that in a minute. But it's a striking omission that some of the achronim, I think, brought up. I'm trying to remember who, but I've seen it mentioned, definitely. If we talk about the relationship of the three, it's just interesting to note that the Rambam doesn't really have the third halacha, even though he puts amidas Ha-dayanim, I'm sorry, Amidas Ha-edim and Amidas Balidinim in Hilchos Sanhedrin. So that's an interesting facet, too. Either way, another facet to think about regarding Rabbi Yehuda and the comparison to Edim or the connection to Dayanim and this whole question that I'm raising now about Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and so on is the fact that the Gemara defines Gemar Din. I alluded to this. Let me just explain what I mean very quickly by it. How does the Gemara define Gemar Din here? Yitzi, right? Yeah. Ish ploniat zaka, ish ploniat chayim. And that Rambam quotes that faithfully in Perek Chaf Aleph of Hilchos Sanhedrin. Why is that important? Or is that important? Could it be something else? This is, you're not responsible for this. Unless, what did you learn last year? Ksuvis? And the year before? I'm only going to hold you accountable for like 5 years. It's like you have to pay your taxes, or is that 3 years? You have to keep your records? What did you learn the year before? Beginning? Did you get to Yud Zion?
Not
yet. What?
Not yet.
Bikias. Okay, so you're responsible. So what else could there be? Could there be anything else? Is there anything else? Yeah. Yeah, so sometimes this is an interesting question that comes up in a number of different Gemaras. Sometimes the definition of Gemar Din in the Talmud, right, in the Shas, is Ploni Atachai, Ploni Atazakai. Sometimes it's Tsei Tein Lo. And sometimes it is, what's the third one? Chai Vatali Tein Lo. Now there's a debate in the Rishonim already whether or not there are really three or two, and among the poskim, big discussions in the Shach and everybody. It's a very lively, interesting discussion in the Rishonim and in the Acharonim. Like, why is there all this confusion about what a Gemar Din is? So some of them just like, they think that there are either only two, or maybe everything is really one. Everything is which one? Everything is the earliest one, or everything is the latest one? Right? That's a whole big discussion. The Rambam actually is usually very into Tsei Tein Lo, even when you wouldn't expect it. And the Shach, it's a whole big discussion. Okay, so here is a little piece of evidence, of Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachayev. Where else does it say Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachayev? Where are our Sanhedrin people from a couple of years back? What's that?
Pshara.
Excellent. In the beginning of Sanhedrin. Where does it say Tsei Tein Lo? Well, that's why I asked Yitzi, what Bava Metzia Daf Yud Zayin? Or who learned Bava Kama? Bava Kama? Bava Kama the Takers? Meruba? Like Meruba people? I think like Isaac learned Meruba, I have a feeling. No? No. No. Oh. Okay. Yeah, Noah. What's that? Chazra Karen Lebailin. That's the Gemara on, what is it, Samech Ches or something like that. So there the Gemara talks about the problem of, if you steal again, or if you steal, right? At what point is it considered, that you're, taking something that already is back in the bank account of the person. So the Gemara says, well, it depends on this. Lifnei Gemara Din Lach. Actually, it's a very important Gemara, because the Gemara there seems to have two shows, Ploni Atazakai, possibly, and Tsei Tein Lo. Okay, I don't want to go into the whole thing. I just want to make one simple point. Okay. And that is as follows. I'll tell you my suggestion, and I think this is mostly true. Again, there's a huge machlokas already, Rishonim, Poskim. There are three, there are only two, there's really only one. Fine. Let's assume for the moment there are at least two, possibly three. So what do they correspond to? What they correspond to, what I was trying to say back in the Sanhedrin days, is that really there are two aspects of Gemar Din. Let's say the two most radical ones. Tsei Tein and Chai Vatali Tein. I'm sorry, and Ploni Atazakai. One is the disposition of the case and the status of the monies in question. Right? Like if I'm holding on to your object and there was a psak din that said Tsei Tein Lo, then it turns into a pikadon, and basically I'm holding it for you because the bezin has already paskin that it's yours, and if I'm still holding on to your object, right, that it's not, and legally everybody has to be tzayis ladina, so then in the end of the day I have to give it back. So basically, till I give it back, I'm a shomer whether I like it or not. Chazra Karen Labailim, and also the Sugya Bava Metzia Daf Yud Zayin, and a few others like that, are about the status of the Chepta Shel Mamon, the outstanding financial consequence. And it makes a lot of sense to say that that depends on Tsei Tein Lo. However, there are dinim of the Gemar Din that depend on the status of the Gabra, right? And whether there was a psak, a theoretical, a practical psak, and a theoretical psak. One way to break it down. A psak relating to the money and changing the status of money which is in transition, as opposed to a psak which relates to the gavra, to the rishus hagavra. Is he, v'hayim binakos harasha? Is he a tzaddik? Is he a rasha? Is he a guilty party? Is he an innocent party? Who is he? What is his status? So, for example, when it comes to again, chazuk karen labailim, other things having to do with the money, it makes a lot of sense to say Tsei Tein Lo. But when it has to do with the gavra or the din, in theory, it makes a lot of sense to say Ploni Atachai, Ploni Atazakai. When it comes to pshara, it makes questions whether or not you have a din Torah, and you're done, I'll be pshara, and you want to switch back to din. Like, when is it too late? So So it's only too late when you paskin say teilo. It's already too late when the din has been theoretically established and guilt and innocence has been established. Why am I telling you all this? Why do we care about the gemar din of the balei dinim here, right? Especially if we take the view that that's when the balei dinim are balei dinim. Meaning, till the balei dinim bring the case to our attention, and we're huddled in a beis medrash, or not, as the case may be, right? But the point is that will the defendant, will the defendant now rise, with a sonorous, kind of a voice that every dayan has to be trained to have, the defendant will now rise, or something like that. So because his status is being determined and defined, that's when he's a chalos baldabar. So of course that depends on ploni atazakai, ploni atachayim, right? Even according to the Rambam. So some of the nosakalim, some of the poskim in Shulchan Aruch and Simin Yud Zayin wonder about this. I'm trying to remember who. I'll try to track it down. How come this isn't, one of the tzeitelos for some of the poskim who normally feel that way? Or maybe it should be. But I think it fits in perfectly with what we have been saying. Is this about the money? Is this about the shame, baldabar, which obviously is much more critical to us. Okay, so then in addition, we also had a debate among Rishonim, Balei Tosis, about the status of Kabbalas Eidus for Baldavar, which is both a Kabbalas Eidus issue and partly this issue, again, the shame, when is his shame Baldavar, and about the distinction between Mamonis and Nefashos, which I also tried to explain to answer the Tumim's question, also 2 days in Tosis. Then we have a discussion about Kvod Talmud Chacham, which we had yesterday, took a while. The point I was trying to make in Kvod Talmud Chacham is that the Gemara's formulation, Hayase b'Hayase, is said with regard to Edim. And with regard to Balei Dinim, it's perfectly clear that if somebody's a Talmud Chacham, that's a reason to be Moshiv. But the Gemara doesn't quote Hayaseh v'Hayaseh. It just doesn't say it. But what's fascinating is that the Balei Tosis and some of the Chachmei Svarad quote it, right? Both here and in Tosis here twice. Tosis in Sanhedrin, because they're talking about Yanai, they're talking about Kvod Talmud Chacham. The Chachmei Svarad, they quote it. So it's also quoted in two different ways. One is a Huadin way. Some quoted Huadin, or just don't say anything at all. I mean, just assumed. Others say Kol Shekein, right? So the ones who say Kol Shekein, I think the Rush says Kol Shekein on this. There are two. I think differing formulations. Whether it's a kind of Huadin or an implicit Huadin. Or a Kol Shekein. One with regard to the Kavod Talmud Chacham issue, right? Where, again, the Makar is an Eidus, and the question is exporting it to Baldin. The other one is in the question of Ma'akev or not Ma'akev. We find in both of those questions, when there's a projection from one to another, that it is formulated in two ways. One in an equal way, right? And the other in a Kol Shekein way. At least the Kol Shekein way acknowledges, right, a hierarchy. The Huadin way doesn't deny a hierarchy, but it certainly doesn't acknowledge it. Okay? So again, the Ramban and the Rajba here, when they talk about Ma'akev or not, I believe they say Kol Shekein. And the Ran and the Tshuvas HaRajba based Samech Daled do not. And I think when it comes to, I could be getting confused, I think this is how I remember it. When it comes to Kvod Talmud Chacham, I think the Rush says Kol Shekein, right? And some of the other Rishonim just stick it in as if it's clear and explicit in the Gemara. But either way, the point I'm trying to make is that, again, the Kol Shekein, helps us a lot here. But even that aside, maybe there's no din or requirement of hayase v'hayase to begin with, because the pressure or the counter pressure is just not as great, because it's not that kind of an issue. In Eidim, maybe it's, you know, for the same reason, because the Gemara in Zvachim had a hava mina, you know, that that's ma'akev, it's like avoda and karbanos. And dafka, that's how they answered when it came to Eidim, right? We'll have to talk more about that. That there's a pircha because of kvot tamid chacham. Wow. Okay. The whole kvot tamid chacham in Eidus, given that hava mina in Zvachim, is very perilous to begin with. We'll have to talk more about it. But when it comes to bal davar, maybe we never, you know, especially take the language of the Chacham in mitzvah, you know, or maybe even less. So maybe you don't even need that. On the other hand, let's say it this way, what's kind of interesting is, on the one hand, you have the Gemara, Medina de Gemara, and then you have the Rishonim that I just mentioned. But it's also interesting that the Rambam, Perek Chafalef, again, Halacha Dalet, anybody have it open? Does not mention Hayase v'Hayase. But he also doesn't mention Hayase v'Hayase in this context for Edom either. Right? It's very meduyak, I think. Except that he has it for the Chovas Haggadah. So the Rambam did something very intriguing here. Talmud Chacham v'am aretz shebo ledin moshivin es hachacham, right? V'omrim lama aretz shev v'im lo yashav ein makpidin al kach v'liyaktam atalmud kashiyav ledin v'yeshav fnei rabo, and so on. So the Rambam just slips it in, right? This I think is being true to the Gemara. When it comes to balei dinim, he doesn't have any. He just says it. The Gemara only says it. The Gemara never ever says Hayase, Hayase, you know, or Kvot, you know, Kavanat Torah Adif. Never says it by Baldin. What's interesting is that the Rambam doesn't even say it by Edim. But what the Rambam did quote it is Dafka by Edim in the Chovas Haggadah. Right? The Rambam said that the excuse not to show up in court, if you're a Talmud Chacham, is based on Hayasei, Hayasei, Kvod HaTorah Adif. He did not say by Yeshivas Ha'ed. So he doesn't. What the Gemara says it by Yeshivas Ha'edim, right? The Gemara never said it by Chovas Haggadah. The Gemara says V'hisalamta by Chovas Haggadah. Okay. I also happen to think that that is, you know, maybe Lishitaso, that he thinks, you know, that v'imana, that, you know, he shouldn't do it against the chinuch and the minchas chinuch, meaning when it comes to the Rambam's general shita under his salamta, as we know, is that it's a heter, but a lechatchila, you should do it. That's his view in Hilchos Rotzeach. That's why the minchas chinuch was upset. Just that the minchas chinuch gave up too easily. He said, oh, look at the Sefer HaChinuch. He interprets the Rambam that here also, lechatchila, you should do it. But if we don't think that that is the case, which I don't, and which I think some other authorities don't, so it sounds like the Rambam did something very interesting with these Gemaras, right? Again, he read Balei Dinim Kipshuto. He didn't even bother with Edim, and he took what the Gemara says about Edim, Bamida, I mean, and he applied it to the Chovas Haggadah, right, instead of the Hisalamta. I already explained why I think, or how I think he read the Hisalamta Gemara. Meaning he felt that was, the Gemara was just saying, if there was no din of the Hisalamta, then there couldn't have been this din either. But this din is so much more than that din. And I'll get back in a minute to putting them all together. Okay. But either way, the Kavanat Torah aspect of Baldin and its relationship to Edim and the Rambam and the Balei Tosfos and the Rush and so on is an interesting story. So, just very quickly, in light of this, right, just we should take a minute or two just to discuss if indeed there is a heter of which the Gemara seems to say explicitly. We were just talking about, you know, does it need the justification of Kavanat Torah? Does it apply? Right, but it definitely there is such a heter. So why is that heter not applied to Debisu de Rav Huna and to Yanai Hamelach? So numerous answers are given there. I don't want to spend so much time on it, but just very quickly, drive by. Obviously, some of it is connected to what we've been discussing, and some of it has to do with other factors. So let's talk about the Bissa de Rav Huna first. So why didn't they just ask the Bissa de Rav Huna, right, you know, to sit down? Yeah.
If Talmud Chacham is Mofal on his own cover, do other people have to be a Chabad?
What do you mean?
Like, it's another example, if he decides to go, I know we left this, sorry.
But, you know we what?
I know we left this and moved on, but if
no, no, that's okay.
Decides to go to Beis Din,
yeah.
And by virtue of that, is effectively being Mofal his cover.
Right.
So would there then be a Chiyah for Beis Din Imamid in court?
I mean, the Pashto. Isn't that the case in the Gemara?
Right. So I'm saying, so for the Rambam not citing Hayase from Mida to Aiden,
right,
for Talmud Chacham, so he's saying that if there's ever going to be a Talmud Chacham in court, which means he was mochel and his kavod to come to court, never, there'll never be a situation where we need to.
Oh wow! But is that against the Gemara?
I'm just thinking.
I hear what you're asking. First, I don't think just because a Talmud Chacham is mochel b'kvodo, in one aspect, that necessarily, meaning coming to court, that necessarily means that he's, you know, that it extends to how we treat him when he's in court. I don't see why that should be, although I think it's an interesting question. I'm not sure in general, just, again, you can't be mezalzel Talmud Chacham even if he's mochel on his kavod. I think that's a second point, the two different points. But the third point I would say is that, either way, you know, the Rambam may think that, you know, that kavod HaTorah is implicit already in the p'tur of Chovas HaGad, or the Hafka of Chovas HaGad, especially if he thinks it's an Isar, you know, to do it. But he still has to read our Gemara, doesn't he?
No,
so I would be hard, and what you're suggesting is, in addition to overcoming the two assumptions that I just mentioned, you're also suggesting that he really holds against the Gemara. Because it's clear in the Gemara that that aid Talmud Chacham who shows up in court is supposed to be seated.
That could be true conceptually.
Unless he thinks, no, I'm saying, what does he do with that Gemara? Unless you think.
Unless it's just, it's more as a contrast to the.
What do you mean a contrast? Isn't that explicit?
It's a question of posture. Like, how do we as Beis Din treat Talmud Chacham? So that theoretically could always be true.
I'm saying in the case of the Gemara, there's an ukimta in the Gemara,
right,
where this Talmud Chacham came to court as an aide and they were moshev him. So while we have to assume that the Rambam paskened against that Gemara, I don't see any evidence of that. I think it's more likely that he felt that, you know, that the Kavod HaTorah Adif isn't necessary for Baldin, because he doesn't mention it, and it's not necessary for Adim either, per se. Because that's, you know, l'chatchila b'dyavad or whatever. But it is necessary to say why, I think it's l'shitaso, why, unlike v'hisalamta, you know, not only does he not have to show up to court at all, which is a bigger p'tur, obviously. Now, if I show up in court and I'm testifying, right, and the question is whether I'm standing or I'm sitting, that's one kind of an issue. If you're saying Kavod HaTorah excuses you from showing up completely, A, and B, that you really even shouldn't, we want to discourage you, even though you can, but we want to discourage you, unlike the other B'ez Salam does. So for that, you need a justification. So I'm suggesting that the Rambam, not that he disagrees with the Gemara, but that he felt that, like, the Gemara's application to this case is overkill. You don't really need it for that, but it is there, you know, and to explain something else which finds less, which we know to be true in the Gemara, that Talmud Chacham doesn't have to show up for the Chovas HaGadah, but the Rambam's finding, like, solace in that explanation because they think it's overkill in the Edom of the Bali Dinim part. That's how I'd say it. But I'd rather say that than say, even though it's clever what you're saying, you know, if it wasn't for the Gemara, I would say, but it's against the Mefurish Gemara, why would he, you don't think that?
I'm sure we're both struggling with the same issue, just because he leaves it out.
Who?
Unnecessary.
What's that?
We're both struggling just with the same issue.
Uh-huh. I hear.
Shouldn't leave it out.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, that's true. So why? What about poor Rav Huna's wife? I mean, let's just discuss this for a minute. Like, why, instead of you know this whole shoelace thing, you know, with the goose, you know, very colorful Gemara. Why didn't he just, you know, solve the problem by telling, you know, Mrs. Huna, Rabbi Tzinhuna, to sit down. So the Baal HaTosfos give different answers to this. Number one answer, Pinchas, go ahead. Read it. What does Tosfos say? I just want to talk about this for a minute. It's an interesting topic, but it's not obviously for us to get too distracted with. What does Tosfos say? Tosfos gives two answers. Yeah, got it there? What? If you should look at the thing, and what are you asking me? New? No.
Next one.
How could you have the? So that's fascinating. The first one is that it doesn't come right against the Kavanat Torah. The first assumption is that Eishes Chaver is full Kavanat Torah. Does he also assume that Eishes Chaver is full Kavanat Torah even after the Chaver dies? It's not clear in Tosfos. Does he's accepting the fact of Rashi or not? That would be interesting. One second. But what's also fascinating is that even that Shelo Listom Tainus Baldina, you won't say the Kavanat Torah even B'Shas Gemar Din when the Balei Dinim are finished making their Taina, right? So which shows is something I talked about before. That stimas, baldin is a perception issue, not just a substantive issue.
Because there's
nothing to say at this point. But see, people might still think that, there's unequal treatment or and so on. That perception is. Right. So the Ramban says that. The Ramban says there's no nistatman tanase. So is that like the Ramban takes an ish halacha? That's an interesting side argument. This is what I want to bring out also. The Ramban says there's no stimas tanase because everybody knows that hidur lifnei tamachacham is a law. So you have to take an ish halacha approach. You have to look at this the right way. So that's an interesting argument between Tosfos both on stimas tanase and gemar din and not. And also the idea that stimas tanase overrides kavod tamachacham. Okay, but the assumption is that eishes chaver. Now, is the assumption that also eishes chaver lachar misaso still deserves full kavod tamachacham? I'm not sure about that, but let's think about that. What's the second answer? Oshema. Yeah. So is he saying on the second point that that it's drabanan? Or is he saying it just isn't on the same level as Kavod HaTorah, which is Docha? I'm not sure. Some of the Rishonim say explicitly that it is Drabanan. I don't think everybody has to say that. I'll explain in a second. The Ramban has another view, the Ramban and the Ritva, and that is that Eishes Chaver to begin with is only Drabanan. Right? Or, another way to say it, is that it's not on the level of Kavod Talmud Chacham, even when he's alive. Correct? And there's another line in the Ramban where the Ramban says, if Rav Huna were here, or Rav Huna wouldn't be insulted that his wife should be standing, B'Shas Gemar Din, for the sake of, the mitzvah of Bali Dinan being omer. That's another line in the Ramban. So what this touches on, of course, very quickly, is the, I think, two questions. Technically, it touches on the question whether Eishes Chaver status, right, is B'Toras Eishes Chaver. I mean, put it this way. Whether Eishes Chaver status is kavod to the Talmud Chacham, or once she has the shame Eishes Chaver, so B'Toras Eishes Chaver is a din of kavod. And I think there are several interesting issues here. One is, La'achar Misa, is there still a shame Eishes Chaver? When do we say la'achar misa that shemos, put it this way, if the mechayiv is always kavod for someone else, then usually la'achar misa doesn't apply anymore. Or at least the kavod of la'achar misa is a different kind of kavod. The question is on the shemos level, if it's b'toras atzma, right? So, but then it's an open question, whether that shame still exists or not. But there's a good chance that it will. The question pops up in a number of places. Let's say, what about other krovim other than HS? Krovei Talmud Chacham, not Ishto. Does it matter? Lekula or Lechomra. Right? The Ramban and Ritva talk about other krovim. Another parallel is Kibud Avim, right? Because you have the whole discussion, Eshes Aviv, who's not, you know, your mother, or Baal Imo, who's not your mother, I mean, a stepfather or stepmother, right? La'achar Misa. You know, what is the status? So there's good reason to meet, you know, obviously there's good reason to look at all this objectively and say, oh, you know, Misa is a great Rubicon, and either Shemos, no Shemos, go beyond that. But there's good reason to think that you might be Michalik, that certain relationships or categories of relationship, whether it's Eishes Chaver, you know, because of learning, as opposed to Kurva, those, the Kula and the Chumra, they might be very different, or Ishto as opposed to other Krovim, right? So this whole question of A, what is this level of Chiyuv Kavod? Is it Rabbanan Doraisa or is it just Doraisa but less then? And B, does it continue La'akar Misa? Is really a double question. It's the question, what is the Mechayev here? Is it him or her? And it's also the question of whether the shame, even if it's her, is something that persists after, and whether you're Mechalik between different cases. So that is all something to think about. However, what I wanted to add is something else, and that is the possibility here that this whole category of Kvod Talmud Chacham, Hayaseh the Kavod HaTorah Adif, maybe really needs to be looked at in a different way. And this will help us with the Adam issue, too, but let's already mention it here. Right? Mostly, default, we should be looking at the Kavod problem as a Dechuya issue, meaning a triage issue. You have a clash between the Din of Amidas Balei Dinim, or Adim, and Kvod Talmud Chacham. Right? And the question is, which takes priority? And then we could talk about Drabbanans, Daraisas, levels, and so on and so forth. However, here and there, this is what I was trying to say about the Rambam's view about Chovas Haggadah. Like, why should the Rambam think that the Hisalamta issues are lechatchila, should be carried out? But, you know, this Hayaseh, right, that it's better not to do it. So what I suggested at the time, when it came to Chovas Haggadah, was connected to this whole idea that we began with Chovas Haggadah, but it's still very much what we're talking about now, which is that some of these issues have to do with the transcendent nature of the din process, and with Kavod HaTorah and Kavod for the Marechet of Halacha and din as the legal system. That's why Smuchim are, viewed in such a way that Elohim Elokim, right? That's why, you know, sometimes the Mokom of Bezin is a Mokom Ashkina. Again, Avram read to us the language of the Chinuch the other day in this connection. Obviously, the Mordechai, which we're going to get back to in a second, just to pin down the details of it, right? Natan mentioned to me a whole bunch of other Lashonos, which we'll have him mention later about, you know, Amida Lifnei Ashkina, the Dayanim, and so on, Lifnei Hashem. The point is that when it comes to this issue, maybe the point is that Kavod HaTorah or Kvod Talmid Chachamim is an internal factor. Meaning, if you see the Amida, the Yeshivas Ha'edim, and the Yeshivas Balei Dinim, a Zilzul, you know, Kavod, so it isn't just, you know, a separate violation or lack of Ema and so on. It's inconsistent with the whole perspective towards Din itself. But being Moshiv Talmud Chacham, say Kvod HaTorah Adif may be an internal factor. That's how you get not just Dechuya, but perhaps an Iser. Like, this is really better, this is stronger, if the Rambam really means that. So what I'm suggesting is, even if you were to, another suggestion, and I'm going to say this in a second about Kvod Malchus too, if we were to take the view that, you know, maybe Eishes Chaver you know, is Kavanat Torah, but it's a Kavanat Torah in a different way than the Kavod for the Talmud Chacham, even if both are Daraisa. Right? But maybe this is something very specific. So again, in the Gemara, it's Meduyak. The Gemara is not worried about the problem of yeshivas, you know, habalei dinim. The Gemara is concerned with the problem of Kavanat Torah. I mean, how is he going to find a way, right, to express his Kavanat Torah for her? And that's what the Bali Tosis are saying. Well, if there's already Kavanat Torah, then why not just plug it in to the din that it can be Moshiv, the Bali Dinim, which the Gemara says explicitly. Right? But maybe that's exactly the point. The point is, yeah, the Dayanim have to show Kavod, but that has nothing to do with the heter of Hayasei, Kavanat Torah Adif. Here, that's a totally different matter. So I want to say the same idea, basically, as a possibility for Yanite. So what do we know about Yanite? Same problem. Yanite was a Baal Din. They told him to stand up. We already discussed whether it was Zini Mamanus or Dini Nefashos, or whether that should matter. And the question is, all Rishonim are asking, right, Kvod Melech is a factor, right, Shetei Maso Alecha, and it might even be more than Kvod Tamachacham. So how could it be that in the Yanai case, they just, you know, ignored that? Okay, so we have numerous answers, right? One is that Kvod Talmud Chacham is greater than Kvod Malchus, and it's not measured by the possibility of Mechila, because that's an institutional question. That's a very interesting answer. It's an answer that many of the Bali Tosis give. Or Dine Nefashos Shiny, which is certainly an interesting answer, if it is Dine Nefashos, that it should be shiny with regard to this issue, is also very interesting. But then you don't have to say that Kvod Malchus is inferior to Kvod Talmud Chacham. Same would have been true in Kvod Talmud Chacham in the Dina Nefashos case. And that's a very interesting phenomenon, too. It goes on the list of differences between Mamanus and Nefashos. Those are the answers that the Bali Tosis give. There are two other answers in the Rishonim here. One is the Rajma and the other is the Ritva that are interesting. And then I want to build off of one to say what I just said. The Rajba says, anybody see it?
But he sat down before they gave Rishos.
Yanai sat down, took liberty. He wasn't told to sit down. He sat down. Oh, what does that mean? And the Ran says the same thing in Sanhedrin. Who cares? Well, we're standing on ceremony. The answer is that this is all, if the Mechayiv of Yeshiva to begin with, of Amida rather than Yeshiva, is Kvod Bezdin or Kvod Adayanim, right, then they have to be the ones, right, to be Moshiv Mishum Kvod HaTorah. That's an interesting argument in its own right. That's what the Ran says in Sanhedrin, and that's what the Rajma says here. It's interesting in its own right, because if it just is that Kvod Melech or Kvod Talmud Chacham is, you know, Docha, then what do you need the permission of the Dayanim? So already it assumes that it's a kind of implicit Mechilas Kvodam, but you need their Mechilas Kvodam. And that the whole issue for them is one of Kavod, not a posture per se. That's an interesting answer. But that answer implies that this is about extraneous Kavod for the Dayanim. Okay? So hold on to that notion. What's that? They said to him, you know, stand up. You don't have a right to sit on your own. Right? That's what the Rajma says here, that's what the Ran says there. The Ritva says something even more intriguing. Anybody see it? I don't want to, because I want to go this quickly. But the Ritva has a terrific line. Right? A breakthrough line, in a way. And he only means it for what he means it for, but I'm just going to run with it a little bit more. The Ritva says, here. Just 1 second. Where is it here? Here it is. Legabe mili didun ase de malchus adif kadeshate mora aso al ha'am. Avlegabe shchina machmirim tvei legabe melech Lahachnia libo lifnei Hashem yisbarak, kedetziv levilti rom levavo. Vezeu sharmalianai amod al raglachav ya'idubach, shelo milfaneinu ata omeid, ela lifnei mishamar vayaha olam. Okay? This fits in again with the idea that Amida here is not for the personal kavod of the Dayanim, it's for Kvod Hashchina. So what he's saying is, if you want to know, right, there's a whole range of views here, obviously, about the relationship between Kvod Melech and Kvod Talmud Chacham. The Ritva's taking a complex view. He's saying, they're not equal, it's not that one, whichever one, is greater than the other, they're different. Right? When it comes to human beings, shetehei emaso alecha, right, the requirements of kvod malchus are greater. And maybe that fits in with the fact that there's no mechila, right? However, when it comes to the relationship of kvod, of kavod to the kavod hashchina, here there's a difference between Kavanah Torah and Kvod Malchus. And the Dafka Kvod Malchus requires always the assertion, right, Shelo Yehei Rom Levavo, right, of the limitation. So this is a good, important statement, obviously. Unlike the Rajba, who is saying that the din of Kvod, it's a din of personal Kvod Dayanim here, right, what emerges from the Ritva clearly is that this is not about the Dayanim, it's about the Dayanim as Elohim Elohim, namely as the presence of the Shechina. Okay. That's the important Yisod Malchus. Just one second. So what I just want to add is basically what I said before about Eishes Chaver, I'd like to say more strongly even now about Malchus, and that is, if we look at this as a triage, as a Dechuya issue, right? So let's assume that, you know, the case, a strong case could be made that Kvod Malchus is stronger than Kvod Kavod HaTorah of Kvod Talmud Chacham. Let's assume. But if we're going to argue that this is all about an internal factor, namely that high asei v'hai asei, asei the Kavod HaTorah Adif means that basically the reason that you're standing lifnei Hashem, right, is, you know, as an acknowledgement, not only the presence of the Shechina, but of the importance of this venue, and especially of this process, and of the, you know, different functionaries and their dynamic within this process, the Balidinim, the Edim, the Dayanim, and so on. And consistent with that is also Yakra Daraisa, meaning Kavanah Torah, because that's really what it's all about. In the end, it's this sense that this is where, you know, this is where Horah, you know, comes from. And therefore the processes that reflect it, you know, also take into consideration the larger idea of Kavod HaTorah. So even if you were to think that Kavod Malchus trumps Kavod HaTorah, right, as an external factor, it certainly is irrelevant to the Beis Din. Right? The Beis Din, you know, just to highlight it, we don't need it, but a couple of years ago we learned Sanhedrin, we talked about the, I remember one time we talked about the Drasha Saran. It's like in the back of my mind that we weren't in this room, right?
Yeah, we were upstairs.
You were like in the other building?
Yeah,
no. We used to go once a year to the other building, right?
Fourth floor, yeah.
Fourth floor or third floor?
Yeah, we were upstairs.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I seem to remember that. So, yeah. So anyway, the Drasha Saran has, you know, this famous, famous piece, very beautiful piece, about the relationship between, you know, the Melech, you know, and the Shofet. So you don't need that for this, but I think it works very beautifully to explain the issue and the problem. So the more we think that this is a, I'm just taking the idea of the Ritva and going, you know, considerably further with it. But either way, this is one of the things that emerges. Okay, next. Is there any daya that with regard to Bali Dinim, Amida, when you require, will be Ma'akev? So again, there's no Gemara like there is in Zvachin, as we said, and Chachamim used the word mitzvah. If you look at the Shulti Giborim, the Riaz, he doesn't speak about Bali Dinim. The Mordechai, even if you think it's Ma'akev, the Mordechai doesn't speak about Bali Dinim. However, it is very, very clear that the Ramban, that the Chachmei Sfarad, when they talk about the ikuv potential of amidas edim, right, they do apply it also to Bali Dina. Again, the Bali Tosis equate in that context the yeshiva sadayanim and amidas edim, which is also fascinating. Right, also not necessarily true. But they don't say anything about Bali Dina. Right? It could be that there was no Hava Mina, that Bali Dina would ever be Ma'akev, as much as it is a Din. But the Chachmei Sfarad, Ramban, the Rajba, the Ritva, the Ran, and so on, they all find it necessary to say, when they tell you that their own Shita is that Eidos Ba'amida is not Ma'akeves, they find it necessary to tell you V'hu Adin Bali Din, as if to say that Bali Din would have been if Edim would have been. Okay? But some of them, as I mentioned before, like the Ramban and the Rajba here, say Kol Shekein, and some of them, like the Chivas Rajba and the Ran, and so on, say V'hu Adin. So, again, I think for the Riaz and for the Mordechai and those people, I think it's just not true. They think Edim are Ma'akev, as we'll discuss in a minute, and they don't think that Hu Adin Bale Dinim. And it sounds like there's a group that would have thought either Hu Adin or at least maybe Hu Adin. Okay. So that is very, very important in, again, assessing the role of Bale Dinim. And then, of course, in light of all this, to think about the status of Shechia and Smicha, which is, you know, some sort of in-between stat, and we'll discuss what they are exactly in a couple minutes, but, you know, this bending down or leaning, do we necessarily have to say whatever we're saying about Edim for Bali Dinan? L'kula l'chumra. Right? If it works for one, does it work for the other? I mean, obviously, if both of them are Bamida, you would think that it would be B'chada Machta, but we might end up thinking that maybe Bali Dinim can't be sitting and Edim need to be standing. Right? Meaning, and therefore, you know, the rigor of what that includes, you know, or the flexibility is greater for Bali Dinim and less so for Edim. So Shchia, Smicha, all of those things might be another Nafkamina as well. Okay. So now let's move to Edim. Again, we don't have to spend as much time on it because we just spent a lot of time in the contrast. Again, the stakes are clear, as we discussed. There's much more reason to think that Edim is a formal... There's no Edus Balayla, right? Certainly, if you give Edus Balayla, you know, Kibin Shigit, Shuvin Chozer Magi, those kind of things may not apply. Edus Shabbatla Mutasa Batla Kula doesn't apply, meaning the idea that procedural aspects... Well, that may be true in Bali Dinim too, but it's harder to pin down in Bali Dinim. The formal aspects of Eidos, you know, are formalized in terms of time. What about in terms of posture? But again, the formalism of Edim and all the other aspects that we discussed make it much, much more likely. In our Gemara, it's interesting. The Gemara says, you know, whatever you're going to say about Bali Dinim, Kuli Alma agree that the Edim Ledivra Kol Bamida. Just that line alone is just very important in the Gemara. And again, when Rabbi Yehuda ends up conceding to Gemar Din, you know, is he equating them? Maybe. Or even then, it's less than that. But certainly there's a Ledivra Kol Bamida, which is important. Then you have the Hava Mina and Zvachim, which, as we discussed, is shocking, the comparison to Psul Kachim. You have the Hava Minas in the Ramban, and Chachmei Sfarad, and in Tosas and Zvachim, that really this will be Ma'akev. They end up rejecting it, but they definitely take it seriously. And you have the Shulta Giborim, who says, yeah, Kivin Shehigid, he compares it to being done Balayla. The Shulta Giborim, I mean, the Riaz in Sanhedrin, who says that if Edim were Bamida, that we will throw out their testimony, or at least it won't be Ma'akev in terms of Kivin Shehigid. That's a very shocking thing. He does not say the same thing by Bali Dinim. He does not say the same thing about Yeshiva Sadayanim. Again, we're not interviewing him, so we can't know for sure, but there's nothing in the piece that implies that this is true for anything more than Eidin. Then the other possibility that it's Ma'akeb is in the Mordecai, the Chachmei Ashkenaz. We just don't know how seriously they took this idea, but in the case of Smukim, right, how seriously they took it. So the Bach and the Lavush, right, both claimed that this was going to be Ma'akev Midaraisa. And the Lavush here has Miugama Edom Dabke Lechatchila. One second. Avolim Im Heidu Bishivas Edusam Edus V'Donim Al Piem Bizman Azeh Deleika Mumchen. The Haish Amr Torah V'Omdu Hainu Lifnei Hashem wrote Salomar Mumchen. The Azal Fila B'Dieved Im Yashvu Ein Edusam Edus V'Ein Dineim Din. Avol Bizman Azeh Deleika Mumchen Einu Ela Midrabanan Lefikach Dafka Lechatchil. So this is the Labush, and the Bach likewise says that that was the Havamina of those Chachmei Ashkenaz. See if I can find it quickly. I know I have it here somewhere. So the Bach here says as follows. V'chein kasov Mordechai di yeshivas dayanim eina ma'akeves huhu adin edim she'idu miyushav ha'chanami amidas balei dinim eina ma'akeves v'rabbeinu alazor v'rab Shimon courting the Mordechai amida dafka b'mumchin d'chsiv amnu p'nei anashim p'nei Hashem v'ha'idu like a mumchin mishimachi nogu b'yeshiva bein b'edim bein b'alei dinim afilu b'gmar din. Okay, that is the Bach. And then later on he says Tell me I don't have that page. He also says, oh, maybe I do. I heard it. Sorry. He talks about the Rambam's Chiddush, that Nagu, that there is no such din bizman hazeh. Again, because it can't be mishumach siluk machlokas, and it can't be omer adin al tilam. Kvar Nagu kol bete beis yisrael lachar ha-talmud, shemo shivin bali dinim va'edim kedei lahasr machlokas, she'enim adekoch lahamid mishpate hadas al tilam. So the Bach in Sif Karton Hay says as follows. Number one, he quotes a smag, ki mipnei omek hagalus, that's interesting. Upirish Marosh Stein, the Rotzalom Arhol, the Anu Shruim, Bein Agoyim, Trichin Anu Lahasir Kol Machlokas mi Beinenu. Okay, interesting things. Ulif Amim, Boy mi Machlokas, Vahakpedos, Kish Omrim Laedus Alabalidinim Shiamod. Now talks the Bach. Benir Beinai, Apapishta Kadmonim, Choshashula Takala, Vihitiru Lomar She. Yeshu kedela salek hamachlokes mikomokom ha'edim v'habalei dinim atzmam komi shenaga yiras elokim bilavavo v'omdu avosav al har sinai yachush lechvod ha'torah v'hamitzvah lekayim mitzvahs v'omdu shnei anashim ha'shalahim lahariv v'pnei Hashem alfa b'shiyom l'madayonim midarach ha'musar sheyeshvu inu gufayu yamdu v'roi lem lahashiv l'dayonim anachnu namod lifnei Hashem v'lifneichem ki ha'mishpat lelokim. It is them is right inspiring words. The ikel medak the ma'achar sheitir lahoshiva mepnei machlokes tzor klomer dein tzor klamen el chatchila. The kasha the minalahu the kro lo kamazir lamod el chatchila. They show me the kro filu dievet kamar dafka ba mida elamiu kro le kamar le bemumchin v'ha'ina deleka mumchin loy boy mida elamid rabbanan hilchach b'dieved. Eina ma'akev. V'chein v'chatchila moshivin osu mepnei ha-machlokes. Kalech adika chashash takalot okin rabban v'chein katsu mordecha al shem harav rabbi Eliezer. V'nira d'das kol ha-poskim kipirish harav rabbi Elazar d'lo kemo shekosav v'sma, as we'll get to in a moment, and so on. The upshot of it all is, this is a very interesting like split. The Beis Yosef, the Mordechai basically has this line, which is fascinating to distinguish between Smuchim and Bizman Hazeh. Now, one can understand this as just a din in kavod, or like I was saying before, something much more fundamental, namely your posture, your attitude, is critical to din itself, and the way that you reinforce the Bezdin and the Bezdin process. Oh. So there is this massive, just one more second, massive machlokes in the poskim about a couple of things. Number one, how seriously to take the Mordechai Bizman HaSmuchim, which in turn affects what is its status, Shelo Bizman HaSmuchim, and which probably is also connected and related to the fact of how much to invoke this unbelievable heter of the Rambam, right, Bizman Hazeh, as well. In addition to that, what the Mordechai, in addition to the argument about the Mordechai, what the Mordechai said is like a fantastic idiosyncratic shita, or what the Mordechai quotes is like the default normative view. Okay, those are four different points which break down in these poskim, just to make it short and clear, hopefully. The Bach and the Levush, but especially the Bach, and in terms of the consistency, felt that, number one, the Mordechai Shita was not idiosyncratic. It's like the default normative view. The Beis Yosef says clearly, and the Sma also says, that the Mordechai is really interesting, but we don't have to be choshesh for it at all. Lahalacha. Bach says it's normative. This is really how we paskin. B. The Beis Yosef and the Sma both understood that even the Mordechai's din is only lechatchila, and it's an extraneous kavod halacha. Moreover, since that's the case, so what's the Bizman Hazeh when there's no smuchim? Well, if the Bizman HaSmuchim is only lechatchila, so Bizmanenu, right, it's not even lechatchila, or maybe it's only Durabana. And the Bach says no, and Labush, the Bizman that there were smuchim, it was Ma'akev Doraisa, because it's not extraneous, it's fundamental. But that leaves it, even Bizman Hazeh, as being an Iser lechatchila. Right? And then you have, everybody invoking Shulchan Aruch, of course, quoting the Rambam. And then you have the Bach saying, this is what the Rambam says, but any Edom and Bali Dinim, who have an ounce of Yirah Shemayim are going to stand up, if you don't mind the pun, for V'amdu Shnei Anashim, Bedin, and everything that it stands for. So you have just two very radically different perspectives. Either way, for the Riyaz, and if it's true that the Mordechai was Ma'ake B'dieved, the Bach and the Levush view, we need to contend with the big question that the other Rishonim ask against them. And that is, again, it's formulated most sharply in the Ran, although it's already implicit in the Ramban. Tosis doesn't formulate it at all, I should say. Tosis just says that it cannot be that Eidim Bamidas Ma'akeh B'dieved. Why not? Why can't it be, Shmuel? Because what? Tosis doesn't say that. That's exactly what the point of Hoodie. What did Tosis say, David?
Yerushalmi.
Because of the Yerushalmi. Because Yerushalmi says about Megadev, it's so interesting, right? Yerushalmi says about Megadev that what?
That was Bamida.
That the Dayanim can be Bamida. Huh? We know. Yeah? We know, says Tosis, that Edim Bamida is not Ma'akev because Yerushalmi says that Dayanim be Yeshiva is not Ma'akev. The Ma'inyan, Edim Bamida le Dayanim be Yeshiva. Obviously, Tosis thinks a lot. What Tosis doesn't say, and obviously didn't bother them, was the next line of the Gemara in Zvachim, namely, that Talmid Chachamim are exception to this rule. Because that's Tosas. obviously Tosas has that shita, and they assume the equation, but they did not think that there was a fatal raya from Talmid Chachamim. The Chachmei Sfarad, on the other hand, beginning with the Ramban, as far as I know, say, you know, they start off, they say, Yesh Omrim, and they say, how could it be? What about Talmid Chacham? And the Ran formulates it in the sharpest way possible, because he just says, if this is a din in Hechsher Edus, what, so Talmid Chachamim, Kavanat Torah is Machshir Apsul? Like, Kavanat Torah is a very good thing, it's a very important thing. Yeah, but it can't be Machshir Apsul Avoda in the Mikdash, and it can't be Machshir Apsul Hechsher in Haggadah Seidus too. Right? If you can have Kavanat Torah, but a Karov is still not going to be accepted, you know, and something which doesn't have the Drisha V'Chakira is not going to be accepted. I'm elaborating, right? That's where the Ran formula. The Ramban doesn't go that far. He just says, well, if I don't understand, you know, the whole Talmud Chacham thing, there would have been other ways, you know, to maybe make a pasul like a melech. So you have gradations. Tosas wasn't bothered by it at all. The Ramban and others were bothered by it, and the Ran just says it the most sharply. The Ran is saying, the only way it could be ma'akev is if it's a din in Heksher Haggadah Seidus, or Shemaid. And how does Kavanat Torah help for that? So we need to answer that question. Before we do, Isaac had a comment before, which I said I'd get back to. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just like wondering for the Bach, what mitzvah is he invoking for the Yirei Shamayim once he reads the whole
Pasuk? Obviously, he thinks that this idea of... my point is that the Bach and the Levush obviously think that what the Mordechai is talking about is not just an extraneous din of Kavanat Dayanim, but that this is part of relating to the whole Marechet of Mishpat, of, you know, this, there's a real kiyum in expressing, you know, Amida Lefnei Hashem, and like asserting that this is a Makom Shechina, as part of the Tochen of Din. So he's saying, good, you know, today, because of Machlokas, you know, maybe we're not going to impose it, but, you know, people, sensitive people who realize what it really is all about, it's about a bigger point than just extraneous kavod.
And that's going from going to Shanachan.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Even though that's just Rabbanan?
He doesn't think it's Rabbanan.
Well, it's Rabbanan now.
It's, I mean, oh, so I think what he's saying is, since there aren't Dayanim Smuchim, so Bismanyanu, that's Rabbanan. But when you do it, I'm guessing, it's a Kiyum Daraisa, because even though it's only a facsimile or simulation, you're still asserting that idea of Kavod Bezdin and Kavod Hadin and so on. I think you have to say that. I think it's a good point you're making. But yeah, it sounds like he thinks it's a Kiyum Daraisa, even though it's only a Chi of Drabana. It's not Ma'akev anymore. Right. But, I mean, it's just powerful words. Right? What was I saying? Oh, so what are we going to do about Kvod Talmid Chacham? Tosas isn't bothered by it so much. Again, the Ran, I think, highlights the real problem with it, and so on. So in the Perush on the Levush that I mentioned, it turned out that it's written by Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. That's interesting. Levushei Tzedakah. Wow, right? So number one, I say he's bothered by the idea, we'll get to that in a second, of Kiyum Daraisa. But he says, I don't see what the big deal is. Lo hevanti rayas haposkim, the idievet pasul lo hei talmid chacham kasher yoshev, v'chi machshir in edus pasul v'pnei kvota ha-Torah, ayin sham, that's the Ran. Lo hevanti, harei ha-Torah rak amra v'amdu, the tzarech shiyamdu, rak mimela, kivin min ha-Torah yamod, im lo asa kein pasul, kinin komash amra achman alo tavidi avid lo mahani. The kol dvar Torah, in chiluk be diavad lechatchila, the leolam ha-overal ze lo asa klom, v'zeh heche di'ika aseh v'avralei. Aval Talmid Chacham, kivin d'amar b'gemara, hayaseh v'hayaseh aseh, kavan ha-Torah adiv, zeh min ha-Torah aseh t'kamuran, doche la'aseh ha-kala, v'ein tzorech la'amod, v'imela lo avar aseh klal, v'lo nifsar klal le'duso. V'nir bar, d'zeh das, rabbi lozer rab shema. Very fascinating, what he's saying basically is, he has a certain view on the Sugya in Temura, right? Normally, what we think that means is, and that's why it's such a tricky thing, and Ravana, you know, an Abaya, and the exceptions and the rule, and when you do apply it, when you don't apply it. Normally, what we think is that the idea of Koma Dom Rachmana Lo Sabadi Abed Lo Mahani is that when the Torah says you're not allowed to do something, it's because it's an illegal action. I mean, it doesn't sanction it, and therefore it doesn't have validity either, meaning it's lacking in effectiveness and heksher. It's asur for the same reason it's asur, namely it's an illegal action. I'm simplifying a little bit. This is normally what we would think. It's an illegal, invalid action, and you know you shouldn't even do it. Of course, the other mandamar says, well, if it was really invalid, why would it be asur? It would just be a waste of time, right? That's why there's always room to think that, but let's say we were talking about something which the Torah, you know, has as a chiyuv, right? Or an iser, but not something on the hekshar level. Don't do it. Or it's an illegal action, doesn't mean it's an invalid action, right? It's just not sanctioned, or it's prohibited. Prohibited doesn't necessarily mean legally, you know, invalid. But that's why there's room between Abaya and Rava. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. How do we paskin? It's a huge... He's taking the view... No. Basically, the default is that mitzvah satorah or isurei atorah are ma'akev. Right? So you always have to figure out... That's a default. How come sometimes we don't say that? Because there are sarkasavs and exceptions. I'm reading a little bit into it, but I think that's what he's saying. They're saying the Torah said here... that you just stand up when you testify. So it should be ma'akev because that's the chiyuv haTorah and the yavod lo mahani, right? But it's not yavod lo mahani if there's a heter because of kavod haTorah. So it's only going to invalidate because of the iser, right? When there's an iser, but there's no iser here. That's a very interesting perspective on the yavod lo mahani. I think it's interesting. Okay. I don't think it's the best answer for this question. It clearly isn't an answer for the Rav. So what I'd like to get back to is the other idea that I mentioned before, and then I'll take a question, which is the more we think that the Kavod haTorah, that the obligation to stand, and that the heter not to stand because of Kavod haTorah, and maybe could even be substituted for other kavods, all things being equal, right, is the chuya... Triat, the chiyuv is a certain kind of an extraneous chiyuv, and the exception is a kind of an extraneous chiyuv. The more we think that, the more the Ran is 1,000% right. Right? Because then how do you ever get, right? How do you get an ikuv out of that? But if the idea of all of this is that it's not pure heksher like the Ran either. Meaning, oh, it's like Balaila, or it's like an eight puzzle. No. The point is that without showing the proper posture, or without being muchach mitoch maisav, let's say, that there's a certain aim of a yira, or that there's a recognition that there's a mida lefnei Hashem, or that what he's involved in is, you know, is a transcendent, you know, obligation. Right, like the Chinuch was saying, always about Eidus and so on. Without that, you know, being, or without, either without that being clear, or say it the opposite way if you want, with that being called into jeopardy or into question, right, that's a problem of Heksher. Because Eidus isn't collecting scraps of information, it's Eidus. And being a Baldavar and being a Dayan, right, it's not just the functions, it's the functions that are given a certain. Right, mamad. It needs to be given a certain amount, or at least you can't take that away. You do, you undermine the whole, you know, the whole venue and the whole framework, and so on. But if you say Kavod haTorah, you know, here you could say two things. You don't have to go as far as what I'm saying. You could say as long as there's another good reason, even if it's an extraneous reason, let's say even Kvod Melech or something like that. So it's not zilzuls, and it doesn't the zilzul hamakom or ha talich is the Dabar HaPosel, or the thing that takes away the Hashem. Right? But for some other good reason, it's like we were saying earlier in the year, right? You know, other factors sometimes, that even if they're not doche, but they're koveya, akumbaseya, shevalta, they redefine how we look at the violation. Or whether we look at it as a violation or a choice. Or a choice for another reason. I think that's one way to say it, even if you don't go as far as what I said before. Certainly, if you go as far as I said before, which is that there's a special din in Kavanat Torah, maybe Malchus, and maybe even Eishes Chaver, assuming that that isn't just an expression of Kavanat Torah, maybe that wouldn't work here. Because it's all about that. So then, in Achanavi, this is going to be an effective way to do that. I should mention one other thing, and that is the Meiri. The Meiri has a shocking comment where he says, his ambition kind of, is the Meiri says that Edom are obligated to stand from beginning to end, not just during the Kabbalah Sefes. Also during the Gemar Din, he thinks also during the Masamata. It's not so clear. I told you some of the Achronim are very bothered about the problem of Kabbalah Seidus and Tchilas Adin, Sof Adin. Fine. So the Iri says that Edom have to stand the whole time. The guy who put the addition out, I saw on the bottom, said, Lo Matzinu Davar Zeh B'Kol HaRishonim, which was, I'm not familiar either, I just thought it was shocking. But then he says something else, which I think they didn't pick up on, and that is that when the Gemara says that, in our Gemara at least, that Kavanat Torah is Adif, that it refers to the Maso Matan, not to the Kabbalah Seidus. Meaning that it's not true that you will be Moshiv Edim B'Shas Edusa. Just that additional halakha. That would be amazing. Meaning, again, how does that fit into the Gemara's Vachem? I'm not so sure. I guess, Josh might want to say that, maybe the Rambam held that way, and that's why he omitted Kavanat Torah for Yeshivas on the Ha'edim. I'm not sure. I think it's a spectacular shita, but according to the Meiri, at least it's a contingency of just denying that it's true. That you could say it's Ma'ake. And there is no Heter B'Shas actual Haggadas Edus itself. Yeah. Okay, is there a question? Yeah.
Is that because the Meiri thinks that the Edus is the fundamental part of the entire...
It doesn't sound that way, otherwise you shouldn't be Michalik in terms of the other thing either. It sounds like he thinks that... Well, he formulates that, you can never tell, even B'Shas Maso Matan, they might want to go, revisit the Edus. So it sounds like there's just the shame aid is still there. But it's not as acute as it is during the actual Haggadah, so that's where he's making the distinction in terms of Kavanat Torah. But it's an extreme, it's an expansion, and therefore it's a double expansion. It's an expansion on the Amidah Sa'edim, almost like Chachamim for the Bali Dinim, and it's also, therefore, an expansion of the intensity of it, because in the Kabbalah Seidus part, it's not even subject, it seems like it's not subject to Kavanat Torah either. Okay. So, good. Now, okay. 1 second. I just want to mention that, just very quickly, something that we did in Sanhedrin again a couple of years back. I mean, this idea that Kavanat Torah is in this context more than just an extraneous factor. I'm sorry it's taking so long, but at least we're getting hopefully through. Is something that, I think has a lot of significance in other contexts, too. So just to remind everybody who happened to be here, and even those of you who are not, that there's a whole discussion about, the din of Lefneim v'lo Lefneim Diotos, and the din of Shlichu Sayu Kav Dinan. Anyways, make a long story short, the Ramban, in his Perush Al HaTorah, and the Ramban in the third parak of Sanhedrin, and especially the Chidush Aran in the first parak of Sanhedrin, have this idea that part of the story of Shlichusayu is based on Yakra, you know, the Dayanim. That, you know, that basically part of the problem is there's a Hekshar issue and there's also like a Kavod issue. And that part of the din of requiring Dayanim Smuchim when they're available is that is Yakra de Dayanim. So that's a really strange or fascinating halacha when you think about it. It raises a lot of questions. But one of the things I want to explain, and I'm not going to go into details, at the time, was that maybe what the Chiddush Aran and Ramban have in mind, again, is this idea. And it's not that, you know, there's some extraneous din of Kavod Tamid Chacham, which, you know, is sometimes ma'akev and requires you to have smuchim. But that when it comes to din and dayanim, right, the Kavod Tamid Chacham part is part of the maximalist application of din itself. Now, it's an internal matter, not an extraneous one. That's really what I was trying to suggest. Okay. And again, I think this works in for the Rambam's thinking that the Chovetz Haggadah is not a L'chatchila B'dieved issue, but an Iser. The Ritva, by the way, has such a day as well, that the idea of a Talmud Chacham not coming to din isn't a lechatchila, but is also an iser. But he has a different explanation. I just wanted to get it on the record. And that is as follows. He has a more technical explanation. He also is bothered, why is this different than other cases of the Yisalamta? Even on the Yisalamta, generally, there's a machlokas between the Rosh and other Rishonim, whether it's a heter or an iser. Just one second. He also addresses this, but he has a different. Pirish lishin de lo lezil mashma filu rotza lelech ein lo lelech ve ein lo limcho kvoda bekach levazos toraso afagav dike pseida behai diyada le besadusa. The Avagav the Hassam in Ratzal Hashiv Meshiv, meaning Aveda, Shani Hassam the Ika Kama Tamid Chachamim Shosen came b'Shalahem, Aval His Bazos Lifnei Dayana the Batzer Mineilo. So he also thinks there's a difference between regular v'Yisalamta, but it's quantitative. And what I'm trying to suggest here is that this is all a completely different halacha, meaning this the relationship between Aveda and Kvod Tamid Chacham is, you know, Kem Kumatzei Sheval Tase. It's a triage, but when it comes to Chovetz Haggadah or Amida Bedin, then it's really an internal one. Okay. According to the Bali Tosis and the Chachmei Svarad, not the Riyaz, not the views of the Mordechai, that Amida Be'edim is not Ma'akev. So there's still a question, interesting question to ask. And that is it Daraisa or Drabana? So the Sma in Sivkatan Hay, in Simi Design Sivkatan Hay, says that it's Drabana. And that's connected to the Sma in Sivkatan Vav, who talks about leaning, Smicha, which I'll get to. And it's based on the Chuvas HaRivash, Reish Samach Vav, who also says it's Drabana. And that's where you have this interesting, again, discussion in Levushe Tzedakah, who also seems to think that if it's only Lechatchila, that it's probably a Dindra Banan, because Heichan Matzinu, he quotes some of the Rishonim in the beginning of Gittin, you know, Edim Sirakar said Lechatchila, Bidiyam. Where do we find Daraisas, you know, in Daraisa that something is Lechatchila or Bidiyam? Maybe in Mitzvos, but not in Hechsheru. So then he comes up with a very interesting idea, this, again, the Levushe Tzedakah, trying to figure out, he says, oh, maybe there's a difference between things that are derived from Mikra, that's like a whole genre of people saying these chilukim, as opposed to from a drasha. And then he says, oh, maybe it depends if it's from Mikra or from drasha, what is the real limud of this din. But what I wanted to say is that I don't think it's. I think the pashtus of most Rishonim, meaning the Bali Tosas, the Ramban, and so on, is that even if it is a ma'akev, that it's not the Rabbanan and it's not a smach to the Alma. It is a lechatchila. The only question is it a lechatchila, an extraneous din kavod of the Dayanim? Or it's a lechatchila, like we're saying for the Bach, you know, which really touches on like a din and din itself, a way of like expressing in a more unequivocal way, right, your appreciation and understanding of the process in which you find yourself. So and as I say, the Rambam himself just doesn't mention the Eidus part at all in Hilchos Sanhedrin. He only has the Bali Dinim part, and that in itself is striking. The Tzma and the Rivash say it's Drabanan in connection with their discussion of smicha, of leaning. So that's the only thing I want to finish up before we move on. So I guess we'll start with this tomorrow, but I want to move on the rest of the Shaka Vatario very quickly and start discussing Melech and Vesach and Bekovia tomorrow. So, but let's first discuss the Rivash and the Ramah and the Taz and the Bach and the Sma and the Gra. Right, we'll try to do it quickly. Meaning, you could spend a lot of time on it. I'm not going to. Just very quickly, Shchia, meaning bending, and Smicha, per se. I mean, are they? What is their status as Amida, as Yeshiva? Are they both? Are they neither? That's one question. And of course, the connected question, which makes it so difficult to pin down, is what do you require in the various contexts that we're dealing with, right? When you require Amida, does that mean Amida or does that mean not Yeshiva? When you require Yeshiva, it means Yeshiva or not Amida, right? What if something is both, or what if something is, you know, in between, right? So we're not going to do that in Kol Torah Kula, although it's a fascinating question. Meaning, what about Kadshim and what about, you know, Kriyas HaTorah, you know, what about 100 different other things? But at least, you know, the Rashi Prakim, just since it comes up here, and it's also an interesting question for all three of our applications, so we'll do it very quickly and then move on. I want to say something about the Shaka Vatarya till we get to Masach. We'll get this very quickly, hopefully, and then let's talk about Melech and Masach and Bekovia. Okay, yeah.